take a ride. I strolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed out up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart. Although I was a
well, good morning, everybody. It's 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and you're listening to 960 AM KKNT, and this show is called Under the Hood. This is where we talk about your car. What we're here for, my name again is Mark Salem, what we're here for is to talk to you about your car and to help you understand the repair process. We're here to give you hints about what to say and what not to say. We're here to talk to you about what may be in your best interest and what's not. We're here, and we often talk about wallet flushing, which is the big word in the auto repair industry right now, is flushing. Flush this, flush that, and everything else. So if you'd like to join us, this is the easy part. All you have to do is give us a call. If you'll give us a call at 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, then you get two for the price of one. First of all, I'm the co-pilot because we have gentlemen that run the studio. But next to me is Joel from Arizona Import Specialty. Joel, good morning to you, buddy.
Morning, Mark.
And Joel is one of the shops that's on our list of the best repair shops in Phoenix. And let me tell you something about Joel that's kind of special. In 1988, we started because the number one question on the radio is where do I find a good shop? So in 1988, we started the best car repair shops in Phoenix. Folks, maybe one out of every 30 or 40 or 50 applications makes the grade. It has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with integrity, honesty, integrity, and longevity. But what happened to Joel at Arizona Import Specialty in Tempe is that this is something that's never happened before. A bunch of shops in his general vicinity got together and decided to nominate Joel. Now, first of all, that's never happened. What typically happens is you have a garage that's in a particular geographical area in Scottsdale, and somebody down the street from him applies to be a part of the best car repair shops. By the way, that website is marksalem.com. Well, the shop gets a little upset because the potential is to have another shop just down the street from them on the best car repair shop list, and so they view it as competition. So you can understand how surprised I was when Bob at Quality Transmission, Mike at Schumann's Auto, I think Dave at Tri-City Transmission, and there was one other one, was there? Do you remember?
I know Leon and Mike spoke to you.
That's right. Leon and Mike. They all nominated Joel, and he's in the heart of all of them. But the difference is that those guys used Joel for import cars, and they did their own thing. So Schumann's is a great Dodge guy, an alignment guy, and a heavy line guy, but he does domestic cars and some imports. But when they ran across a tough import, they'd send it over to Joel. So Joel ends up being one of our guys on our list, and his shop airs on imports. The problem, there's no problem, but it's an honor for you to be nominated by the guys around you. So what did you think when, and I think we called you, did we not call you and ask you to fill out some paperwork? You were kind of surprised?
Yeah, I was really happy and glad to get a shot to try and get more business for my place and help other people.
Well, that's what worked out good for us. And speaking of that, when you speak of that, I have to do this. This portion of Under the Hood, and all of this show is brought to you by the best repair shops in Phoenix. These guys pay the freight. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing, located on the south side of Main Street, just east of Stapley. Brian and Thelma, which is husband and wife, they own Thompson's, and they've been in business since 1970. They're a AAA-approved shop. They're an ASE-certified Blue Seal shop and a NAPA-certified auto care. Thompson's Auto was named a Business of the Year in 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, and they're equipped to handle all major and minor repairs on foreign domestic vehicles. And I'm proud to have them on my best car repair shop list. Joel, does your wife work with you as well?
Yeah, she works there. Not every day. She does a lot of bookkeeping with us and stuff like that, though.
Okay. Does she overrule you?
Sometimes. I also have my sister working for me at the front counter, so we have all kinds of help.
And I got to tell you something. I've got my wife is here and my daughter's here. And when it comes to any kind of dispute, whether it's technicians, whether it's service riders, parts people, whether it's customers, then we have this powwow. So when you have those kinds of powwows, who usually wins those?
Well, in the end, I guess it would be my wife that would end that discussions usually.
Okay. And likewise with me, I tend to take a position sometimes that my wife and my daughter don't like. They say, we can say the same thing, but be much nicer. And so they'll rewrite whatever response that we get. But everything that leaves here has to be filtered through the ladies just because of a comfort zone issue. But they still don't get to overrule me. Now, how long has your sister been working for you?
My sister's been with me for about 6 years now.
Okay. And so people call, do they ask for a man?
A lot of the women like to deal with my sister.
Uh-huh.
Some men deal with my sister. Some people only deal with, like, sometimes older men will only deal with me. They want to deal with a mechanic for some reason.
No, that's true. That's true. It's the girls, and I have a female service rider, Nancy. So between Nancy and Andy, my daughter, and my wife, Renee, they kind of struggle with those kinds of things because many of the questions that they want to talk to a technician about, they can answer. They can answer. They can talk symptoms and what it might be, and they can also talk price. But you're right. Women do gravitate to the women, and it's nice to have women in the operation because that there's some kind of a comfort zone associated with that.
I find my sister Melissa, by being around it for the last 6 years, she can answer 80% of the questions that are asked at the front counter correctly without a problem.
Okay. Now, does she also do service writing?
Yeah, she does service writing.
So how does she handle a technician who wants to do something and she doesn't want to?
That's the battle that goes on all the time. That's something that we deal with on a daily basis with everybody.
And me too. Me too. The technician, and here's what really, I think you'll agree with me. This is what wads up my underwear real bad. The car comes in for an oil leak. The oil leak is front of the car, center, closer to the front bumper than the windshield. And all of a sudden, the technician comes back and says it needs rear shocks and rear brakes.
Well, we tell them, that's fine, but you have to address the problem that they came in for first because that's why they're here. That's what we want to fix because that's what they know about.
And you're exactly right. It's really hard to call them up and say, oh, yeah, you need some rear brakes. And I always want to know, how do you know it needs rear brakes? And the answer can only be, when I drove it in, it was metal to metal because you had no business in the back end of that car. But you also have the customer who brings their car in for an oil change, and during that process, they let you know unequivocally, I'm going to California. If anything happens between here and there, it's your fault.
Most cars that we bring in, we like to address the problem that they came in for, and usually we do an inspection of the car at no charge, a safety inspection, look it over, make sure things are safe, and if we see things that we need, we give them a recommendation when they leave. If we think it's imperative to be done, we call them and warn them about it right now.
And that's exactly what we do. And you know what's nice about that is I like when you say safety issues because that really draws the line. That line is really, if you don't have this done, there's a good chance you're going to need a tow truck. Rear shocks don't fall into that category.
No, they don't.
Okay. And so that's kind of the safety line is, are you going to need a tow truck if this fails or not? And of course, inevitably, I hope you don't break down, you know, in the middle of the night, halfway to Tucson or something like that. Likewise, we have a responsibility to look the car over and to draw that. This is what you can plan for, but I notice steel hanging out of your right rear tire. This is something that needs to be done, dealt with soon. Okay, so I'm going to write it down, and here's your price for a tire so that you can help make the decision. But, yeah, you don't charge for your safety inspection?
No, we usually do not.
Okay. Now, if they come in for an oil change, doesn't that kind of include the same inspection?
Yeah, we'll do an oil change. We have an inspection write-up sheet that they look over. The techs would write things down. And we prioritize what's the most important things to be done, what is going to break you down, leave you on the side of the road, what could be put off for a few months, and how you could break it up to best fit in your budget.
And I think the majority of the shops will agree with both you and I in the sense that sometimes you don't want to do air conditioning work this time of the year. It's really better to do it April or May.
Yeah, for a few reasons. One, you're going to have a warranty on a job like an air conditioning job, and it's usually for a year. And if you fix it in November, you might not even turn it on till May.
Yep.
And if it dies again, you're out of warranty. Plus, you don't really know how well it works in the wintertime. Could be blowing at 60%. It feels like ice cold this time of year.
And likewise, we try to get our customers to do cooling system work at the beginning of the summer so they can kind of virtually be insured of a trouble-free cooling system during the summer. So it doesn't do any good to replace a whole bunch of stuff in the wintertime, because summertime is where we do. Now, you tell me about the cars that Arizona Import Specialties really shines on.
Well, I myself, we've always worked on Asian cars, Toyotas, Hondas, and Nissans. I've moved into the European market where we do all BMW work, bumper to bump. We have all the factory tools to service BMW.
Reset the oil change lights.
We can do anything on a BMW that the dealer can do. I have the dealer computers for it. I do a lot of Volkswagen. I do a lot of the cars that other shops don't like to work on. And we do them at a fair price and a quality job for the people.
Now, we had a VWN the other day that we were doing a convertible top module or something like that, and we needed a scanner to reset that thing. Have you ever had to do that?
Yeah. There's so many things that you need to reset on cars nowadays.
Windows too, right?
Yeah, Windows.
Back windows on the convertible. We not only, after we had the top done, then we had to go back and have the back windows reprogrammed. And I guess it's a situation where you honk the horn twice, you wave a dead cat around your head three times, you howl at the moon, and then you raise the window up and you tell it it's up, and then you raise the window down, right?
Just like that.
It's just
silly.
You never
know what buttons you have to press or anything like that.
All righty. Again, the number if you'd like to ask us a question is 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. There's lots right now that you can do for your car to ensure its long life, but I think I want to tell you that some of the stuff that you do is feel-good stuff. There comes a time where it's important for you to know your car doesn't have a brain, and if you change the oil every 100 miles, that is no guarantee that it's not going to overheat and burn the head gaskets, and it's no guarantee that you're not going to have an oil switch leaking or that somewhere along the line the motor's going to die. It just doesn't keep track of favors. It's like vitamins. Your car doesn't know the difference. I'm Mark Salem, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark.
You're Hewitt here. I just 60.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, "This ain't good. The timing belt's done shrunk one size too small. No spark plug wires are a little too long and your main prog spawner's nearly gone. Your injector ports are stripped and that ain't all."
Hey, welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. The name of this show is Under the Hood here on Intelligent Conservative Talk, AM 960 KKNT. And Joel, you know what that means, don't you? Intelligent Conservative Talk?
Huh? What does it mean?
Well, they gave me a buy on the intelligent part. So I have to say intelligent conservative, but then I can tell you that they gave me a buy. So your injector ports are stripped. Have you ever heard that before?
No, that's a new one.
That's a new one. Your timing belt stretched too small?
Too small, no.
Yeah, the whole song is funny, but none of it is true. And I'm kind of impressed that they came up with that. Okay, so last week you worked on a car that ate your lunch or came close to it.
Oh, no, I was just telling you an interesting story about a brake job on a Mercedes that we did yesterday, I think it was, that because a lot of people do-it-yourselfers will attempt brake jobs. Newer cars with this SBC system for the brakes, if you don't have the proper tools to depressurize that system, the first warning on the page is risk of death, because it's under such pressure that if you were to just do like a normal brake job and pull the pins and lift the caliper, the pistons could blow out and conceivably kill you.
And SBS, described SBS, is that the same as ABS?
It's an ABS type system. I didn't know exactly what it stood for, but basically that the brakes are almost always pressurized, ready to fire.
Okay, and I think it has to do with stability control as well as ABS. Now, do you remember what kind of car, what model it was?
That was a Mercedes E320, like a 2007, 2008.
Okay, and so if somebody were working on this car on their own, and they pulled the caliper pins on the rear, the key was in their pocket, the car is off. And if they lifted that caliper out, then this system is going to overpressure that system, blow the piston out, which is about the size of a hockey puck, a little smaller. And the least of his concerns is he is going to be covered in brake fluid. he needs to worry about the bullet coming at him that looks like a mortar shell.
It could conceivably kill you. If it didn't hurt you and you were away from injury, you'd have a lot of damage to your car as far as expense to repair that system, too, afterwards.
To put it all back together. Not to mention the brake fluid all over the paint. You
exactly.
need to get that off. And if you're bleeding, that's probably more important. You get to take care of the bleed. We had a Ford Bronco that had 8 or 9 oxygen sensors in it. And when we got it, we weren't really excited about doing it. Okay? I mean, when you follow the path of everybody else who failed, then either you're going to fail and be just one of the rest of them, or you're going to get lucky. In this case, the oxygen sensor wire that came off the passenger side O2 sensor, someone had wrapped it and taped it to the negative cable. And all we did is pull it out. Now, we monitored the O2 sensor, and low is lean, high is rich, so we're looking at 0.1 to 0.9, and we're watching this thing go, but the problem is that it's always low. It's 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. But it's got a new O2 sensor in it, so we make it run rich, and when it runs rich, it goes up to 5 or 6, but it doesn't go above that. So we're trying to figure out, so we start following the O2 sensor wire all the way up through the harness, and it's different from close to the O2, and it's different going into the ECM. So then we start following the wire, and we cut it away from the negative cable, and the problem goes away. That was one of those, it's just the luck of the draw. It had nothing to do with skill. It was just lucky that we checked both ends of the wire and found that there was a difference. But I'm sure you run into that with Beamers.
I run into all kinds of things. I was just thinking of something now. I had a Volkswagen diesel. Kept coming up with injector with glow plug number 2 code constantly.
Okay.
Been in 3 or 4 places, trace it down. Comes to be, taillight bulb is burnt out. Taillight bulb wired into the same circuit for glow plug number 2. Glow plug number 2 would not work.
You're kidding.
I'd never seen anything like that before.
And today you know the car's been delivered. And you know that the light, there's been no other check engine light, no other glow plug number 2 thing. It's fixed.
I've even gotten a phone call from a friend at another shop about 6 months after that with a similar problem. I told him, check the taillight bulbs. He laughed at me, called me back an hour later, said, how'd you know that? I said, I can't tell you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Those kinds of things are so weird. It's hard, like on a Jeep. Some of the Jeep Grand Cherokees, there's a high-pressure switch for the air conditioning on the power steering hose. How do you like to call a customer and say, in order to fix your air conditioning, no worky, I'm going to have to replace a power steering hose? That's hard to sell.
They think you're crazy when you tell them that.
Not too long ago, we had a Mustang that had a courtesy lamp control module replaced numerous times. And when we looked at the back bulb of the license plate light, we found a shorted bulb where the lead had melted to the other side. It was unbelievable. And it had absolutely nothing to do, well, it did have something to do with the courtesy lamp circuits, but it's the license plate bulb. And everybody overlooked the fact that it wasn't working. Oh, the bulb's out of it. But through the grace of God, we worked up. All right. Anything funny lately? Have you found anything underneath the hood that you didn't like?
Well, we find all kinds of things. A lot of mouse and rodent damage we're finding.
Yep.
Cars doing crazy things and finding wires chewed up and nice nests built in airflow boxes and stuff like that.
Yep. I'll tell you in just a minute, I'm gonna cover some business here, but I'll tell you in a few minutes about a red fluid leak that we had not too long ago. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. They have years of experience working on both American and domestic and import cars, both gas and diesel. That's important. Kurtz does diesel. He's located at I-17 and Bell Road in Phoenix. They opened in 1992, and they've been a member in good standing with the Better Business Bureau ever since. So if you live near I-17 and Bell, and you don't have a repair shop, or you want a repair shop to compare yours to, why don't you try Kurtz Auto? Okay, red fluid leak. You ready? Lady calls us, old-time customer, an elderly lady. I got a red fluid leak. I'm scared to drive it. It's okay. We'll send somebody for it. So we send a tow truck for it, brings it over. We open up the hood, and there is a red fluid leak. It's blood. And we find a cat tangled up in the fan belts.
2 minutes.
So at this point, it's no big deal. We loosen up the fan belts. We drag the carcass of the cat out of there. The cat had obviously been underneath the hood because the motor was warm. Now, many of you that live in an area with cats, if you value the cat's life, you should tap your horn in the morning in the wintertime and drive the cat out from underneath the hood. This didn't happen. Here's the problem. Who's going to call her and tell her her cat's dead?
I wouldn't be the one.
So we had this dilemma. You know, what do we do? What do we do? So my wife says her mother does business, or her daughter does business here too. So we said, okay, we're going to call the daughter. So we call the daughter and we say, hey, you know, this is Mark. Your mom's car's here right now, and there's a dead cat underneath the hood, and we're wondering if your mom has a cat. And she says, my mom hates cats. And she says, it must be a neighbor's cat because my mom hates cats because they scratch up her car. Well, that's good enough for us. So we washed everything all up, put the cat, we gave the cat a decent burial, and we went and picked her up, and she says, what it was? And I said, it was just a loose hose clamp. How much do I owe you? You don't owe me nothing. I couldn't write it in a work order because it was too embarrassing. And later the daughter said she told her that it was actually blood and stuff, but I told her it was a loose power steering hose clamp. But, yeah, those are the tough ones to have to deal with. Okay, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question like how long do I go before I change my oil, or if you have a car question like how come they didn't turn off the maintenance light, and maybe I'm going to ask you when we come back, Joel, what is the interval for oil change lights on some of the import cars? Have you figured that out? Because we haven't even figured out Chevrolet's Ford yet. So when we come back, we'll talk to Joel about that. That's the light that we're supposed to reset on your oil change, and then it comes on to tell you that the oil is bad. And nobody really knows what that's all about. 602-508-0960.
This is Bob Slagle.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. It's 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. We've got Joel here from Arizona Import Specialties. He's over in Tempe, just north of University, just east of Hayden Road. And I have to tell you that most everybody in the East Valley that runs across a BMW or Mercedes, some Audis, some Toyotas and Hondas that we struggle with, Joel should be honored to know, and he already knows this, that we call him for some advice. So if you have something that's really weird, Joel is a great piece of information out there waiting to be tapped, so to speak. Joel, let's take a – well, real quick, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission, a neighbor of yours. Old Bob over there, he is a good guy along with Greg. And that's all you need to worry about is they're good guys, they're honest, they're dependable, quality transmission. They have many years of experience. They don't guess with your money. They know how to replace and repair transmissions, and they do a lot more repairs than they do replacements. Quality Transmission is located in Tempe on McClintock, north of University. No matter where you live, they are worth the drive. I'm proud to recommend Quality Transmission. You know Bob's a Vietnam veteran and he used to fly jets over there?
I know that.
Oh, hang on a minute. Let me turn on your mic.
I know that about Bob.
He's a great guy. All righty, Don, you're up first. Don, how can we help you this morning?
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Joe.
Morning.
Listen, I'm a Vietnam vet, too. I was in the Black Sheep Squadron over in Vietnam.
No kidding.
Marine Corps A4 driver.
Well, thank you on behalf of me and my family because you fought the war. Nixon called the draft 2 weeks before I was to go to the war. And so the Vietnam veterans have always had a soft spot in my heart because you fought the war that I guess I was lucky enough not to have to go.
Well, it's a heck of a lot nicer place than Afghanistan or Iraq, you know.
Probably so.
I think. But anyway, let's see. I'm disabled. I got shot down and all that. But anyway, I have an old one, a 2001 GMC Sonoma. It's all beat up. It runs good. I put a lot of money into it. But anyway, I've got a taillight problem. I changed the bulb and nothing happens. The left side went out and I put a new bulb in and it worked fine. But I can't seem to get the right one work. I heard you talking about the instrument courtesy light dilemma associated with that license plate light, you know, that you were talking about a little while ago.
But that was a Ford now. That was a Ford.
I was just wondering, I've got a tail light out, I mean a license plate light out, and is that tied into the same circuit as my right brake light and turn signal?
The tail light and the license plate light would probably be on the same circuit, not the brake light.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because your brake is going to be the same as turn.
Yeah.
And so the brake and turn are on the same circuit. You have three wires to each taillight. So you have a brake light, a taillight, and then you have a ground.
Okay.
And I think that's where your problem's at. Because General Motors are famous for having bad taillight sockets. So
I cleaned it out and lubed it and everything. I just... It still doesn't work.
It's just a matter you're losing a ground or you're losing the power supply. What you might do is, can you pull both those taillights out pretty easy?
Yeah.
Okay. So just pull the taillight out and use the bulbs from one side to the other side, and they'll be fine. And then if you want, you can take a 12-volt test light and you can go down in there. But I want to tell you something. It's cheaper, faster, and better for you just to go get another socket.
Oh, they're available that way.
Yeah.
Huh?
So just go get another socket. Now, you shouldn't have to buy the lens because the socket should go into the back of the lens.
It might even be a separate harness back there with the sockets attached to them on
that. Yeah, that's right, too. Thank you, Joel. That's right.
It was a little quick disconnect.
Yeah. So, but it's going to be a socket. And another thing you could do, if you know how to handle an ohmmeter, you can touch the shell of the bulb when it's installed and then touch a ground with your other lead and make sure that you have a ground connection to the shell of the bulb. If you don't, then that's the area of the socket you're missing.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right, Don, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate
you
doing that. All righty.
Okay, keep it going. Hey, what's the name of that shop where your buddy, the X-Flyer?
Oh, it's Quality Transmission, Bob, and he used to fly those jets, and here's what we tease him about. Every time I call him, I say, tell me how that gun sounded again, and he will mimic those machine guns they had back then. And,
really?
And then you can tease him about that. But no, he's a Vietnam veteran, like yourself.
And Quality Transmission in where? Phoenix?
In Tempe, yeah.
Okay.
And he's just a good guy. He's a very, very honorable man. And he's married to, what's his, Bonnie. He's married to Bonnie.
1 minute.
And Bonnie's from Detroit, Michigan. And I want to tell you something. There's no question about who wears the panties and the pants in that family.
All right.
All righty? Okay.
Sounds great.
All righty, good
night. Do some hanger flying with them.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much.
All righty, Don. Thank you.
Bye.
All righty. We're going to take a break. Sean and Nick, you stay right there because as soon as we come back, we're going to take you one and two. We promise. 602-508-0960 for anybody else that would like to join us. We have a big break coming up here, or a short break coming up, and then a long time that we can work with callers. So 602-508-0960. And we have time for you if you have time for us, or if you have a car question. So Sean and Nick, you stay right there. My name is Mark Salem. Our website is marksalem.com, where you can find all the car information you need and the list of the best repair shops in Phoenix. That's a great place to go, marksalem.com. This is Intelligent Conservative Talk, AM 960, KKNT.
Hello, I'm Bob.
Joel from Arizona Imports is sitting next to me, but I want to read something to you, Joel. I get a letter from a guy that says, my 70 Chevy pickup was assaulted by a tire failure that mugged the wheel well area, leaving the bedside rolled under and deeply dented. He gets a recommendation for some friends, but the shop refuses to do the work because it's too difficult and they're scared they can't match the color. So he takes it to one of my body shops. He writes, the damage was straightened in the frame, not filled. Because of the previous repair of dubious quality, the job expanded a little bit more to fix a number of smaller ills that could not be covered. Even the step bumper that was installed crooked 41 years ago by the dealer is now perfectly aligned. Greg May, Phoenix Body Works at 19th Avenue, the job was the result and perfection. They really did superior work. And then Paul writes, without your list, I would have never found them. Thank you for sharing your vast automotive knowledge. And that's from Paul. That makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of letters that make this job worthwhile. Sean, you're up next. Sean, what can we do for you today?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I've got another annoying electrical issue.
Okay.
I got an 03 Dodge Ram 1500, and the window switches and all but the drivers don't work. It's somewhat intermittent, but they will work from the main control at the driver, and I have replaced that, and it doesn't do any good.
So wait a minute. From the driver's position, you can't work the other windows?
No, you can work the other windows from the driver's position, that main panel.
Uh-huh.
But at each individual position other than the driver, those switches don't work.
Okay.
And it's been somewhat intermittent, but mostly they don't work.
Okay.
Well, if it's intermittent and you've already replaced the master switch, do the doors and windows work from the individual doors?
No, they do not. But like I said, on occasion they will, but for the most part they don't.
I think a wiring diagram is something you'd have to have. You'd have to have a wiring diagram because you, all the windows, doors, and switches work off powers and grounds. And so for whatever reason, you are not, when you cannot, when the other three don't work, they're missing a power or a ground. And the question is are we feeding the driver's door to the driver's rear, and then do we cross over to the passenger rear and we go forward to the passenger front? Or do we go to the passenger front first? Which way are we looping that? And so more than likely you have one of the switches that's next in line that's causing this problem. Now here's what I think I want you to do. I want you to beat on the switches, but I don't want you to hurt nothing, okay?
Right.
I want you to beat on the side of the door, and I want you to beat on the switch and see if you can get it to intermittently work and not work. Go.
What year was that truck again?
It's an 03.
Because that might be going through the body control module also.
And a reprogram might work.
Yeah, and if it's going through the body control module, you may be forced to have to bring that to someone who can actually run it with a scanner and see what they're seeing.
And that's true. That's true. The body control module interprets all the signals from all of them and encloses the connection. So on the passenger side door, when you ask for lock, then it activates the lock on the passenger door side. If we lose control from those three and your master's working and you've already replaced the master would have been the first thing.
That's the first thing I would have thought.
Yeah, that would have been that's the most logical guess, if you want to call it a guess.
One other area you might want to look at is between the driver's door where it goes, the wiring goes from the door into the body of the car. That's a common area where wiring connections become loose. There's actually a harness that plugs from the driver's door right behind the dash area there, where if you have a poor connection there, it would kind of cause all the problems you're having.
And the reason why he says that is because we're going to control the door lock and the door window right at the door. But as that signal goes out that into the other control areas, if we've lost a connection there, then and that might be your intermittent. How about if he opens the door
and shake those wires around?
And shake those wires around while somebody's got their finger on the passenger side window as you open and close and slam the door. If all of a sudden you found that, then you'd know your bad connection was in that hinge portion. The other thing is we can do a lot of that with a scanner. We're going to be able to talk to the body control module. Now, this is not a code reader, which costs $39. This is a scanner. What'd your Mercedes scanner cost you, Joel?
About $15,000.
Okay, BMW scanner?
About the same.
Okay, and many of the General Motors, Chrysler, Ford are in the $8,000 to $12,000 to $13,000 range. Now, what do you pay to reflash those things?
Constantly between $2,000 and $3,000 a year just to keep them up to date.
Exactly. And then if you need to reflash a car, you have to log on to the Mercedes-Benz website.
Yeah, you download a download, then you upload it into the car.
Yeah. And the car's sitting there for an hour while you're doing a download. So those are the kinds of technical advances that we're making. There are shops out there that are spending $10,000 and $20,000 a year for the privilege of using those sites to download new software into the body control module like he's got.
We have BMWs that have to be reprogrammed, that they can take up to 7 hours to reprogram the computers. You have to put on a steady voltage source for that time. No one can go within 3 feet of the car.
Yep.
Anything happens, you can wipe all the computers out.
And then you start all over again, and a seven-hour play. So that's why we put battery chargers on them, to maintain that 13, 14 volts, because we can't afford to have the door open, the voltage drop in the courtesy lamp circuit, and mess everything up. Okay, good luck to you. Sean, Nick, you're up next. Nick, how are you today?
I'm fine. I'm listening to you on the internet down in Tucson.
Okay.
And we sure miss your program down here, Mark.
Well, thank you.
I need some help. I have, about 4 years ago, I had a leak in the gas tank. Took it to the dealer. And this is a 2003 Mercedes E320. Took it to the dealer, and they said I needed a new gas tank because it was a plastic gas tank and it was leaking.
Okay.
They changed out the gas tank at $1,900, and when I went to pick up the car, I said, where's the old gas tank? Well, because it's plastic and because it's gasoline, we had to get rid of it right away. Well, the same thing is happening again. If I fill up the gas tank, then the the fumes are just overwhelming in my garage. I keep a garage.
Okay.
And but if I keep it like a half tank, then I don't have that problem. Now, what I'm suspecting, and I'm not a mechanic, that maybe there's a gasket where the pipes, the fuel lines come out of the gas tank.
Can you hear that? Can you hear that right now, Nick?
What's that?
It's two heads shaking. There's two heads in the studio that are shaking when you're talking about that. Joel?
My first question would be, is your service engine check engine light come on?
No.
Okay, and you're smelling the gas only when you fill the car up?
Yeah.
Do you stuff the tank?
No, I just, you know, when it first click, I stop filling the tank up.
Well, that's the right thing to do because you don't want to overfill the tank because of the emission systems related to it.
But yeah, right.
You could have a leaking line. You could have a leak at the top of the sender unit. But since the check engine light's not on, it kind of makes me wonder because that tank is forced to pressurize itself to pass the car's emissions test. So I'd kind of be thinking you might have a fuel line or something like that leaking.
Yeah, but he says that a half a tank, he doesn't have it. If he leaves it at half a tank, then if we had a pressure or a return line leaking at the top of the tank, now me and Joel were just kind of bouncing this off one another.
Right.
We would have, if those lines were leaking, we'd have fuel all the time. But how often are they going to repressurize and verify the integrity of that? Is that, how many miles a month do you drive, Nick?
Oh, maybe 150 miles.
There's your answer right there.
You're not driving the car long enough for the service light to come on because it's not doing the test that it needs to do.
And that's exactly the situation. We're looking for another sign. We need to see that check engine light coming on saying that I pressurized the tank and it won't hold the pressure, and so it's going to turn on the check engine light. Do they call it a check engine light in the Mercedes-Benz?
Service engine, check engine.
Okay.
If you would take that car probably for a longer ride on the freeway, like up to the valley and back, you would probably wind up with that light coming on because it would not be pressurizing that tank. I think someone's going to have to look at it and smoke test it and see what's happening.
And what we're talking about that is we're going to take your car into a shop that's got a half tank, and they're going to fill the gas tank full of smoke. We have machines that make smoke.
Uh-huh.
And at my shop, we have a whole bunch of old guys that smoke cigarettes. We just have them blow in there. But Joel has a machine. Okay? And then we're going to use flashlights and mirrors to go up on top of that tank, and we'll find out where the leak is at. But I agree with Joel. I think your leak's at the top of the tank because you say, filled, I have it, and half, I don't.
Yeah.
And I think you've got an O-ring, you've got a gasket, or something like that. But I think you're on the right track. Okay?
Now, the repairs, are they a new gas tank and $1,900?
Not necessarily. I've seen on those cars where the fuel pump, where it comes out of the tank, there's plastic nipple on the end of it. Those nipples have known to break. There's a little O-ring in there, but no one would know again until they actually looked at it.
But those parts are serviced separately, aren't they not?
Some of them are.
Okay, so that's the possibility. Is this something any independent repair shop can well, we know they can smoke it. For sure. We know that they can smoke it. And as far as pulling the tank is no different than a Chevy Ford or anything else, right?
Shouldn't be.
So by the time you get the tank down and you find the leak of the smoke, then is this a general repair?
Should be. The only problem is if they had to pull the sender out, they may have to reprogram the dashboard.
Okay.
That would be the one concern.
All righty. Well, good luck to you, Nick. Thank you very much. Anthony, you're up next. Anthony, how can we help you today?
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I got a 95 Buick Century station wagon, 3.1 V6. Got a couple of problems. The main problem is that I tried to flush the radiator out. When I initially got the car, I called up a couple of dealers. I couldn't find the flush button outlet button at the bottom of the engine. They said there was none. So right. I just drained the radiator and cleaned it out and put new radiator fluid in there. Now, the color of the sludge there is still in there is a gray to a dark green color. And I suspect that's from the engine somewhere, but is there actually a dump plug on the bottom of the pan or the bottom of the transmission, the engine, to pull that fluid out, the water, antifreeze?
No. What we normally do is we just take one of the heater hoses loose. I don't take them loose at the firewall. I take them loose where they attach to the motor. So you're going to have two heater hoses coming through the firewall and attached to the motor. One of them's push, one of them's suck.
Right.
And we just take one of those loose. We stick the hose in the top of the radiator, and we start the thing up. We open up the petcock, and we just let the thing run with the heater on until everything runs clear.
And that will do it even at the bottom of the even where it, you know, you normally do it in the other cars.
If you want more turbulence, add a little air to that line that's going into the heater hose, and speed the motor up a little bit.
I gotcha. Okay. All right, so that should clear it up now. The color of the antifreeze, is it yellow? Because that's what I put in there. That's what shows for that vehicle. Is that yellow, or is there another color for the antifreeze for that year?
No, I think it's yellow, and I think it's a long-life antifreeze, and you can either use the Dexcool. What color is the Dexcool?
Dexcool's like a pink or blue.
2 minutes.
Yeah, a pink or blue. And then Ford's blue, and everybody has a different color.
But I know.
And here's the difference. They're all different intervals. They're all change intervals. Green is 30. And then some of those other ones are 70, 80, 90, and 100.
But the yellow is the longest term then.
And then that may be fine, but I think Joel and I would both agree that we think going 100,000 miles on any long life is a mistake. And we're seeing intake gaskets leak up. We're seeing lots of problems. So try not to do that. Try to change it. Instead of 100,000 miles, try to do it at 75.
Well, this vehicle only has 96,000, so I'm under that yet.
Yeah.
Now, the other problem is my check engine light comes on. I found it was the neutral safety switch, and I'm not getting good mileage. I've had it tuned up. I still don't have good mileage.
All right, let me do this. I don't have enough time to talk to you, and I'm sorry about that. I'm terribly sorry about that, but I'm going to give you my email address, and we will finish this conversation. mark@marksalem.com.
Okay.
Mark, anybody who has a car question, it was too shy to call in.
1 minute.
mark@marksalem.com. This portion of Under the Hood has been brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair. They're a full-service, family-owned and operated shop at 38th Avenue and Indian School. Larry Harker's Auto Repair is a trusted name for quality, affordable automotive service and maintenance in the Phoenix area. If you live south of Indian Bend, or south of Indian School and west of the I-17, Larry Harker's is the place to go. Again, if you live south of Indian School and west of I-17, this is the only shop in that area that I recommend. Joel from Arizona Automotive, or Arizona Import Specialist in Tempe, thank you very much for spending your Saturday with me.
20 seconds.
For the rest of you, here's what I ask of you. Nothing very difficult. Please don't drink and drive, and please wear your seatbelt. It's important to understand your seatbelt is an integral part of saving your life from a car crash. So please, don't drink and drive, and please wear your seatbelt. Our website is marksalem.com. I'll see you next Saturday here on KKNT.
This was a paid program.